True God, he first from death has burst forth into life all subduing. His enemy doth vanquished lie, his death has been death's undoing. And yours shall be like victory o'er death and grave, saith he who gave his life for us, life renewing.
That was Pastor Mark Smith singing with High Delight, Let Us Unite. Is that right, Mark?
I wish it were. I wish I had a voice like that. So clear, and you could hear every word. No, that wasn't me, folks.
No, it sure wasn't. But he's here on this Rumination Tuesday, April the 14th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. We're one-third of the year towards Christmas already. What happened to February and March?
I know. It just flies, doesn't it?
When you're having fun. And what we do on Tuesdays, Rumination, is we talk about a hymn that has been selected for the Sunday coming up, which is, I believe, the third Sunday of Easter.
Third Sunday of Easter, that's right.
Yeah, I never get that right. Third Sunday of Easter or third Sunday in Easter?
It's of Easter.
I know it is, yes.
Now, if it were in Lent, it'd be a Sunday in Lent.
Yes, because the Sundays aren't
part of Lent. Right.
And I still haven't figured out why we don't sing Alleluias on that day. Because it's not a Lenten Sunday. But I asked two people that on the phone last night, and neither one of them knew the answer. I've got to talk to Bill Whedon.
Oh, yeah, he would be
Pastor
good.
Pastor Whedon would be good. Definitely know the answer to that. So, our text today with High Delight, Let Us Unite was written by George Vetter, who died in 1599. So it was in the German. And who was the translator?
Martin Franzmann.
Did you ever have a course with him?
No, I did, but I can remember, you know, when I was at the seminary, they really sang his praises.
Well, he
in fact,
not only...
I think he passed away.
Oh, yes.
When I was when I was like a first-year man at the seminary.
Sometime. Okay. No, I had him for a course, and it was just excellent. I think it was on Romans, and we never did get through the book.
Oh, yeah.
We only had 10 weeks. So it's really interesting. And he himself wrote some great hymns.
Oh, you bet. Let's see.
What's that one they do at the seminary?
Thy Strong Word, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah,
Thy
that's
Strong
right.
Word.
He's the one that wrote that, Thy Strong Word. Okay, so let's, without further ado, our goal is to help you understand the words so that when most churches who use the text for the week sing it on Sunday, you can concentrate not so much on the melody but on the words. So would you read the first stanza, please?
With high delight, let us unite in songs of great jubilation. Ye pure in heart, all bear your part. Sing Jesus Christ our salvation. To set us free forever he is risen and sends to all earth's ends good news to save every nation.
Yes. Boy, there's a lot of words there. I was coming in listening to the KFUO news, and they were talking about freedom. What they're trying to do in Missouri is become free of having to wear motorcycle helmets.
Oh, wow.
And so it's already passed one house that the only ones that have to wear it are those who are up to 21 years of age. But if you're over that, you don't have to wear it. And every time I drive in Illinois where they don't have motorcycle helmets, it always makes me nervous going by a motorcyclist. Because I was where I met Louise at Fort Wayne, Indiana, at Lutheran Hospital. I remember one of the worst situations was a gentleman who had had a motorcycle accident and did not have a helmet on.
Oh, boy.
And he did not live.
Oh, I guess not.
And I just remember that. And it just, I always wore motorcycle helmets. Not to say that it's going to help you that much sometimes, but it does, you know. But what they were saying when they were adopting this in the Congress here in Missouri, there were people yelling from the bleachers, freedom, freedom. Now, isn't that interesting? That they want freedom so that when they get hit by a car and die because they don't have a motorcycle accident, then the person who hit them can think all their life that they killed somebody, yeah, which they might not have. I mean, this is, you know, that's another thing about freedom. What's your opinion on the necessity to give shots against measles to little children?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, that's tough. You know, I'm not for a nanny state either, but I think we have responsibilities as citizens to get these shots, make sure our kids are vaccinated, and we owe it, I think, not only to our children but to our community. I don't know. I'm not a medical man. I
just saw Law and Order, and it was about 10 years ago.
Yes.
And it was really interesting. And this woman had gone around, got her friends not to get measles, and then they got a measles epidemic in New York.
Right.
And I don't remember if anybody died. I think two or three had died. But her child was the one that gave the measles. And so it was a real interesting. The fact is that the doctor did admit there were some side effects to getting vaccinated, but they're so minuscule.
Right.
That why not not? But see, that's interesting. And I'm still a little confused on this. If you've had your children had measles shots and somebody doesn't, can they still get it if they've had their measles shots?
You're asking somebody who really doesn't know, Tom. I would guess maybe it's not quite as effective. If not everybody gets vaccinated, the vaccination is not quite as effective as if everybody got vaccinated. I mean, that's my guess.
Yeah, they said it is possible you could still get it, but in the movie that Law and Order was, everybody who did get it did agree that they never had been vaccinated. But all those who had been vaccinated, none of them got it. But that was, you know, the movie. By the way, the jury declared her not guilty under this idea of freedom, that a parent should have the freedom to choose whether or not to allow their children to be vaccinated. But then when you think about that, in fact, KFU just had a spot on being vaccinated. There's about 12 diseases that are really bad, and you should be protected against them, they said, by the time you're 2 years old.
Yeah, I think generally you want to do that.
It would seem to me that a lot of the public schools you can't go to unless you have. Now, is that true about your parochial school? You don't even know.
You know, I really don't know on that.
Yeah.
I think probably so.
Because of the laws in Missouri.
I think they probably do have those rules that they'd have to be vaccinated.
Now, some people will refuse to do so on the basis of religious grounds, like Jehovah's Witnesses won't even take blood transfusions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you'd allow that. I guess you could allow that, but then you would never allow their kid in your school. You know, because they don't have the evidence and they'd have to homeschool or something like that. Or go to a school where there are only children there who've never been vaccinated. Boy, that'd be something. But when it talks about freedom here to set us free forever, what freedom is it talking about in the hymn?
Freedom from sin, death, and the devil.
Yes. Namely, freedom from the curse of sin that leads to death, and we're in the kingdom of Satan. We're free from there. In fact, picking up, I'm sure, on Luther, I always like saying this, that Christians are the only ones who are free to do good works. Everybody else has to.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, right. Say it again.
Okay. Christians are the only ones who are free to do good works. Everybody has to.
Everybody else
has to. It's an obligation.
Everybody else is living under the law.
That's right. It's a law.
We are living under grace.
And that's what Christ has done. We no longer have to do a good work to manipulate God, because he's already been appeased by the cross of Christ. So anytime we give him a good work.
As if we could manipulate God.
Yes.
We really can't.
No. But in every other religion, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if God sets up a set of rules, whether praying or sacrificing or suffering or thought, word, or deed.
All these things I've done from my youth, right?
Yes.
What do I lack?
Or thank God I'm not like that guy,
yeah.
You know, because I do this, I do that. Yeah, that was the Pharisee in Luke 18. So this is something a lot of people don't understand, that freedom isn't freedom from having to do good works, but freedom from having to do good works as an obligation, as a way of meriting your way to heaven, because Jesus has already won your way to heaven. I've often said at a seminar, I'll say something like, how many of you sometimes worry that you're going to heaven? And, you know, hands will go up here and there.
Worry that you're going to heaven?
Yes.
Some people worry that they're going to heaven?
Yeah, they worry that they're not going to heaven.
Oh, that they're not going to heaven.
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And, well, there are some people who worry they're going to heaven if I'm there. But I won't give any names. The fact of the matter is, when somebody worries about whether they're going to heaven or not, it's always because they're thinking about their works rather than the works of Christ. So this is kind of interesting. With high delight, let us unite. What does that mean? High delight.
Well, we're singing. We're basking in the afterglow of Easter. I mean, we've got every reason to be thankful. Christ is risen.
Yes.
He's broken death's prison. I mean, we've got reason with high delight to unite in our songs of praises to the Lamb.
That's exactly correct. In fact, they put it in the songs of great jubilation.
Yes.
That's another word we don't use very often. When's the last time your child came to you? Oh, let's have some jubilation. Let's go to the movies.
Let's be jubilant.
Yeah.
Jubilant is joyous.
Yeah, joyous. Exactly. Remember the year of Jubilee?
Yeah, the year of Jubilee was a great, you know, it was a great.
Why was that?
Well, servants returned to freedom. Land returned to its original owner. It was
debts were forgiven.
Debts were forgiven.
That's
right.
That's one I like.
What, every 50 years, right?
There was every 50. Something like that. There was another one every 7 years. We have to get a professional in on
even land.
Land, yeah, there was
and animals. I think somehow enjoyed this year of Jubilee.
Yeah, I don't understand, but I know we don't have it because the in the 49th year, I would just max out every credit card I have. Okay, you owe $85,000, but this is the year of Jubilee. Oh, thank you.
You just about do that anyway, Tom.
Going on with the hymn, the next part is difficult. Ye pure in heart, all bear your part, Saint Jesus our salvation. Pure in heart. See, that's a great question to start with. Please put your hand up if you're pure in heart. I don't think anybody in our congregations would do that.
Right. No, nobody would.
Because they're looking at
that. I didn't think if you asked a bunch of pastors, I don't think they'd say that.
Oh, no, I think pastors would because, you know, it's kind of like.
It all depends whether they understand law and gospel.
That's true. But when I do my sermons and I start off with a question like that, please put your hand up if you're pure in heart. There's three pastors that always do.
They answer the opposite of what most people would.
Right.
Yes, that's how you answer Tom Baker's question. You answer the opposite
of what you think is right. Yeah, I did that at Hope St. Anne. I was there this weekend, and the Bible study was just really wonderful, you know, because I had a whole bunch of questions like that. And finally, I said, haven't you figured it out yet? Think what you think is the right answer, then do the opposite, and you'll be right on. So it was really fun. But ye pure in heart then, how are we pure in heart?
Through Christ. He's washed us through baptism.
Yes. In fact, David says in Psalm 51, create
in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
That's the pure heart we're talking about.
Right.
Yes. The pure
it's not anything
heart.
We've done.
No. No. In fact, it has to be a miracle.
Right. We're sinner and saint at the same time. God looks at us through the righteousness of Christ, and he sees pure in heart.
Yes. Because all bear your part, sing Jesus Christ our salvation, which is kind of interesting. It doesn't say your salvation, our salvation, because this is salvation also for the person writing the hymn. And then we got to set us free forever. And how would you understand that? To set us free forever?
Well, we have eternal life. Our eternal life began with our baptism.
That's
and we are free forever.
Yeah, that's a question I'll often ask. When does your eternal life begin? And most people think when you die and go to heaven. I said, no.
With our baptism.
With your baptism, right. It begins. That you have. Because what life is the opposite of death. 1 John Chapter 1 was last week's, and boy, it was really confusing. It says, if you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you are a liar. And I said, well, how many of you folks are still walking in darkness and sinning? They all put their hand up, and I said, well, then you don't have any fellowship with him.
Well, now, how'd you answer that? How'd you respond to that? I want to know.
I said, Scripture interprets Scripture, and you have to look up the word darkness in the Greek. And guess what? It says, once you were darkness, but now
you are light.
Very good. And darkness, therefore, the synonym for darkness in the Bible is the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah, right.
So, if you say you have fellowship with him and yet are still in the kingdom of Satan, not repenting of your sins.
Right, right. Sin has dominion over you.
Exactly. And so the point I made is the darkness it's talking about is a darkness where you still love to practice sin. You're like the Pharisees. You think you're righteous, but you're not in God's sight. And so that's walking in darkness. But none of you are because you have been...
You're in light. You've been baptized.
Baptized. Very good. So that was the first one. And I said, by the way, how can John say you're walking in darkness if you're sinning when he himself says in those same verses, if you say you have no sin.
We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Yes, that's right. So yeah. It's clear. And so the whole goal I had in the sermon was to show that the difference of walking in light and walking in darkness is not one of being a sinner or not being a sinner. It's one of, in darkness you don't repent, but in light you do repent.
You know, it sounds like that epistle of John, he's really trying to explain law and gospel, don't you think?
All the way. In fact, if you don't understand law and gospel, I said yesterday, because Monday is chapter 3, which is just as confusing, I said, if you listen to the Gospel of John, it has more contradictions, apparently, than right. any other book, I think, in the Bible.
He's trying to explain that, yes, we do sin. We daily sin much.
Yeah.
You know?
And,
but that's our old Adam. You know, that's...
Yeah, because there's another verse that says, if you believe, you never sin. And I said... Well,
and he explains that.
Yeah, he does. But boy, am I going to have fun with this sermon.
You should. Is this what you're going to be preaching on?
Yes. Yes, but don't tell Emmanuel Lutheran, because that's where I'm preaching this week. Okay, to set us free. Is risen and sent to all earth's ends, good news to save every nation. And what would be the good news?
The gospel.
Yes, and the gospel is not the historical facts, but the promises.
The promises of Christ,
yeah,
yes.
That's really, really important, because you could get everybody to believe that Jesus died on the cross and they still go to hell, because they don't believe he died for me. All right, I'll read stanza 2. True God, he first from death has burst, forth into life all subduing, his enemy doth vanquished lie, his death has been death's undoing, and yours shall be like victory o'er death and grave, saith he who gave his life for us, life renewing. So, true God, now this is important. This is the beginning of the stanza. So who's the subject of the stanza? Who's
it's
true God?
Talking about Christ.
That's right. That's right. From death has burst. So he died, right?
Right.
Forth into life, all subduing his enemy, doth vanquish lie. His death has been death's undoing. So...
Oh, I see now.
Yes.
That's talking about Christ's death.
That's right.
I was trying to, you know, I talked to you earlier about it. What you know, is the devil dead?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's a spirit, but he'll finally be destroyed completely. But it's talking about Christ's death, of course.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
Scripture,
a light
not
on
only
him.
Interprets Scripture,
right.
But in a hymn, you have to look at the entire hymn.
That's
and
right.
And that's why True God begins the second stanza. And the other reason we know that it's Christ's death, because his is capitalized.
His enemy doth vanquish lie. Well, of course, that's death and the devil, of course.
You didn't hear me. I said we know it was Christ because his is capitalized.
Right, 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 right.
No,
well,
no,
isn't
no.
that isn't that capitalized because it's the first letter in the line, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's talking about Christ. It clearly is talking about Christ. His death has been death's undoing. The
yes.
death of death. I remember a sermon title was called The Death of Death.
Yes.
Easter sermon.
Yeah, that's good because, well, that could have been a Good Friday sermon.
That too, right?
Yeah, but his death is death's undoing because he rose from the dead. He conquered death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important. When we say that it's death's undoing, how do you undo death? death is the result of your sin. Now, we're not talking about physical death. We're talking about eternal death. This is really important to understand.
Right.
Well, it's been undone because Christ has taken over. And therefore, like victory over death and grave. See, that has to be referring to Christ. That next line. Saith he who gave his life for us. That means he died for us. So in the context, it's very clear that this is the death of Christ.
Right.
All right. Stanza 3, if you would read it, please.
You know, you have to read these
Wait,
words.
Wait, those aren't the words I'm
No,
saying.
But you have to read these words almost how you sing them. You know, the rhythm is a little bit different in this hymn. I like it very much.
Yes, well, that's why we had it played ahead of time.
Let praises ring, give thanks and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above from misery and death set free, all joy and full consolation.
Now, I think it's Dr. Nagel who always says you're always looking who's running the verbs, which means who's the subject.
That's Dr. Nagel. I recognize it, yes.
Yes.
Who's driving the verbs, right?
And in this stanza, who's driving all the verbs?
Christ.
Yes, to Christ our Lord, adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. What does that mean, his honor speed?
His honor speed.
By word and deed.
His honor speed by word and deed to every land and every nation. Well, okay, his praise.
No, what's
speed?
His
praise
mean?
Is... to get the word out.
Yes.
To get the honor out, to get the praise out.
Anytime I'm speeding, I'm always going to something I'm looking for, like KFUO radio. So if I have to go to the speed limit, I'm sure God excuses that because I'm coming to the...
No.
What we're doing is speeding his honor. So what does honor refer to?
The good news.
Yes,
about his triumph.
Exactly. We honor him by giving him all the credit.
Right.
And the way we speed that is by sharing through word and deed throughout all the lands.
To get the word out, right?
Yes. Now, the word alone saves, but deed gets people interested. Like when the tsunami hit Sri Lanka, right. We had Lutherans helping the people there, and they said, why are you helping us?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
And right? That's what you then did, is because of our love for Jesus, we have love for you. And it even says that, so shall his love give us above. What's that mean?
So shall his love give us above.
Yes.
Well, our works do follow us.
Yeah, but what is it talking about? I think that his love comes from above.
His love give us above.
Given to us from above.
From misery and death set free.
Yes. In other words, the misery we have here on earth and the death will be set free from the consequences of that.
All joy and full consolation. That's what we'll have. Of course.
What's another word for consolation?
Comfort.
Yes, excellent. That's exactly what I was thinking of. In other words, there's one goal of every sermon, and that's to give comfort. And I almost messed that up on my sermon on Sunday because I go over the sermon. The last line was back to law.
Yeah. We're trying to, preaching the law and the gospel, we're trying to make uncomfortable those that are...
Comforted in their sin.
Comfortable in their sins. Make them uncomfortable and give comfort to those that, of course,
recognize
their sins.
Yes. And that's really what long gospel is all about. So, you're doing a long gospel sermon this Sunday?
Always do.
And what are the times? Well,
thanks be to God.
Yes.
The times? Of course, we have a Saturday evening service at 5 p.m., essentially the same service, although we don't always have communion at Saturday. And then Sunday, of course, at 9 a.m., 9 a.m. Sunday at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. We'd love to have you. We're a relatively small but friendly congregation, and we use the liturgy, we use the hymnal.
Bible study?
Bible study right afterward. 10:25 or so.
10:25. And do you have any Bible studies during the week right now?
Yes, we have a Lifelight class. We are studying the Triune God, which is deep. Let me tell you, that is not trite. It is not trite at all. It's not simplistic. I mean, it is a deep study, one of the deepest lifelight studies I've taught.
And I'm doing the deep study of the Heidelberg Disputation at Emmanuel Olivet. By the way, this morning in 1 hour at 11 a.m., so if you're free, you're welcome. We got people from St. Charles coming.
So speed your honor, right? Speed his honor speed to Emmanuel.
9733 Olive. You just go to Lindbergh, go east, past two churches on the left, less than a quarter of a mile, and there's Emmanuel. 11 a.m., a study on the Heidelberg, plus on Sunday, that's where I'll be preaching, and Saturday. I'll talk more about that later. Thanks so much, Pastor. And we'll keep in touch till next Tuesday.
Right. KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.